Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. We are currently answering the questions from our listener in our third annual question and answer series. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with his answer. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Number 5. Do you reject the ecumenical movement, the emerging church movement, Calvinism, and the charismatic movement, as well as the contemporary church movement? These are things that are popping up, and there are pastors and churches that have all of a sudden decided that they aren't what they were at one time, and they're changing, and they think the church should change too, since they have changed. And, of course, that's unethical. If they think that they can't believe that way, then they need to get out and go start a church or find a church that believes that way. But usually they like the ethics to do that, and because they don't want to lose their job, and their money and their income, their job and their church is more important than what they say they believe. So you ask this question because in the final analysis, if he does begin to change and goes in one of these directions, then he's lied to you. He doesn't reject it, or he wouldn't accept it. Number 6, do you hold to our old traditional Baptist distinctives? Just to list a few: baptism by immersion after your salvation, autonomy of the local church, regenerated membership, the ordained offices of pastor and deacon only, the two ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper and baptism, and storehouse tithing. Now, I would also, if the church has an articles of faith, then I would take those articles of faith and use those also as a guide to question potential pastoral candidate. Number 7, if for whatever reason you should no longer hold to the doctrines of the church as herein stated, or should you change your position on church polity and pastoral qualifications? Will you resign from the church instead of trying to teach these things to the church? Okay, again, this calls for the man to be a man of integrity. And so if he can't answer yes, then he's not somebody to call, regardless of the abilities he may seem to have. Many times people overlook these things in a potential pastor because of their ability, their personality, and they say, well, you know what, it'll make such a difference. Yes, in the long run, you won't want that difference. Okay, question number 8. What is your stand on homosexuality, moving in and living together without marriage, gambling, alcohol, etc.? Would people who practice these things be allowed to teach, work with children, or have any other part in the ministry of the church? Would they be allowed to join the church, or if they are members, would they be disciplined? Well, you say, man, those are kind of hard questions. Well, you need to have somebody that's going to be a pastor, that's going to be a leader and stand up and take those stands. And one of the problems that you have with this country today going down the moral drain is because pastors have not taken these stands. Number 9, do you believe in church discipline over biblical matters? Now, there are things in the Bible that are accepted by society today. For example, a woman may move in and live with somebody, but then she is living in adultery, she's left her family, or it might be a man, and they've done that, and they're singing in the church, or teaching a Sunday school class, or they're doing solos or what have you. And do you believe the church should discipline? Well, the answer is yes, they should. they really should. And again, that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 as just one example. But we should understand that many times you get into a church and it's the top family, maybe it's the number one tithing family or something else. And if you will change or let up on the rules because of that, then that person is for sale. If it costs you your job, don't lose your ethics. For Jesus Christ, it cost him his life. Many of the apostles, it cost them their life. But they continued to stand for that which is righteous. They did not compromise. Question number 10. Do you personally witness to the lost, the gospel of Christ, and do you regularly go on visitation? Now, if you've got a pastor that won't witness and won't go out and visit, you don't want him. Add to that, would you be sure to contact those who visit our church to talk to them of their soul salvation, and if saved, to seek to bring them into the membership of the church? Again, this is something that a pastor should do. Number 11, do you presently have financial situations that could prove embarrassing to the church? Do you pay your bills on time? It could be a big problem. I'll tell you what, if he has a problem in that area, Satan will see that that gets out into the community. He'll see that it gets out into the community, and it'll hurt the evangelistic, revivalistic efforts of the local church and its spiritual growth. And you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we gave you earlier, it would also fall in those qualifications. Then my final question that I've listed for this listener, would you submit to church credit card oversight by the deacon board? And now, just to qualify that, pastors have church credit cards sometimes, and they go out, for example, and they get a tank of gas for ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. They take an evangelist out to eat. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they start purchasing things for themselves, there may be a problem. And so what the questioning would be is at the end of the month when the statement comes in, and on that statement there is something that you just don't understand. Why did this cost so much? What happened here? Then it should be questioned. In our church, our bookkeeper knows that she's supposed to ask me if there's something that looks unusual there. And so, a pastor, now he doesn't need to come to a point where he's afraid to take the evangelist, for example, out to eat because somebody might say something. So that's why I'm trying to qualify this. But I am saying that the pastor ought to see that he needs to be accountable, providing things honest in the sight of all men, as 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us. I think in addition to that, he can see it that it's actually a testimony. That every time anyone checks it, they'll say, well, you know what? Our pastor is doing what he ought to do. So I think it's a good question. I think it's an important question to ask. All right, let's turn over to Brother Jerry, and he's going to ask us this next to the last question.
You have preached on Ephesians chapter 1 concerning Calvinism. What about Romans chapter 9? Is it not confirming Calvinism?
Okay, now this is quite a question here. And you go to our website on sermonaudio.com/Central Baptist, and you look under Sermons by Bible, you look at Ephesians, you'll see that I had much to say about Calvinism, okay? Especially in that first chapter. But now this listener asks, what about Romans chapter 9? Is not Romans chapter 9 confirming Calvinism? Well, I'm going to be looking at Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 23. And I'm going to read through those as we go along. You may have your Bible because it's going to be a long answer. But I want you to have this so that you'll understand. Now, Calvinism teaches in essence. Now, this is a very broad definition and it's not really fair to you or to Calvinists or to those that would oppose Calvinism. But Calvinism teaches in part that you're either predestined to go to hell or you're predestined to go to heaven. If you're predestined to go to hell, that means that you can't do anything to get saved, that even if you wanted to get saved, you wanted to repent, you wanted Christ to cleanse you of your sin, it won't happen because he's already predestined you to go to hell. On the other hand, if you're predestined to go to heaven, no matter how mean, ugly, evil that you are, you're going to get saved before you die. As a matter of fact, it kind of even looks at you as already saved, and you just come to the light or the knowledge or understanding that you're saved. And that's what happens when you receive Christ, and oftentimes looks at repentance and faith, not as salvation, but as a work, as a result of being one of the elect of God. And it's one of the earlier works that are involved. And so, since they do use Romans chapter 9 and verses 9 through 23, I'm going to read those verses right now. But then, if you have a Bible, please stay there and follow along, because we're going to be going back there throughout this answer. And this is going to be a rather long answer. Now, this may take us a week or longer to get this in this 15-minute broadcast. So I hope that you'll follow along closely. So first, let's read verses 9 through 23 of Romans chapter 9. He says, "For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, having neither done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. That will say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power of the clay, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory."
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.